So John Elway says the team is soft. And after having that, Von Miller is asked about his thoughts on the game.
I want to say it's a must win. We're going to kick their ass, though. Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick their ass. They're going to get our best this week. I know last week was tough, the week before that or whatever. This week, Thursday night, prom time, they're going to get the Broncos' best.
So let's get the Max Starks on the record response. The media is standing in front of you. The guy you're in charge of blocking, the guy that wants to put Ben Roethlisberger's face into the ground, has said that he's going to do that to you. What is your to-the-media response to Von Miller?
Going a little Spinal Tap here.
No.
The volume goes to 11 on game day. That's exactly what it is. It's like, listen, he said it. I want to see if he can prove it.
You would say that to the media.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't sound anything different than what you would say then in the locker room too. Because the players for the Cardinals were just all.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about it. I'm so much focused on us and our problems and trying to help out the team.
All the Cardinals players went media. They went, listen, we're not worried about bulletin board material. We got our job to do. Blah blah blah.
Locker room is different than the media, yeah. Media access.
Yeah.
The question is, I know it's on DJ Humphrey's mind. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
It has
What's
to
amazing
be,
about it,
it
is just, look, there's two types of guys that are in that locker room, and you know this, Max. There's an internally motivated guys and externally motivated guys. It's, yeah, I wish that everybody would be internally motivated.
Yeah.
Wish everybody would just say, I don't care. I don't care what Von Miller says. He's going to go out there. I'm going to approach it every play like I do in every game, and that's giving everything I've got, period. Yeah. That's what I want. I want that dude lined up next to me. Doesn't really care what Von Miller says. I'm going to play every play of every game the same way. That's what I want. But there are externally motivated guys that are in the locker room. It's the reason why you never want anybody to provide that quote-unquote bulletin board material. You don't.
Yeah.
Because there are externally motivated guys that will now suddenly, the concentration will be there, the focus will be there, the intensity will be there a little bit more than what it would have been.
Yeah.
But don't you think...
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Don't you think, though, even... This one's different to me, though, because you can be an internally motivated person, I think. You can be somebody that is normally immune to anything bulletin board. But when somebody says, I'm going to kick your, then suddenly you're internally motivated and you're internally motivated to kick his.
And my thing is, I think more so it's not the fact that he said it. Like, if he didn't, I'm still going out there to beat Von Miller because I want to. Iron sharpens iron. I want to beat the best to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say put that in the paper, that's when I have the external meter starts to rise. The blood on
that's true. You can have both of them go
on that subcutaneous level raises a little bit higher. It's what? Excuse me. What did you say?
Subcutaneous.
Whatever. I'm sorry. Above the dermis. Is that better?
I was impressed.
Not quite epidermis.
I'm complimentary on that.
Nice.
But I think it's more so
biology class.
Yeah. When you get to that point where you say, put it in there, I'm already motivated, but now I'm doubly motivated. That's why I said the Spinal Tap reference. My volume's always at 10.
Yeah.
But what makes this difference? It goes to 11.
Max, everybody says this is not Von Miller. This is not who he is. You can hear it if Doug Lease plays enough cuts, you can actually hear his voice is shaking just a little bit. And they even asked him. The media said, "Boy, you seem upset, Vaughn." This is not him, and yet he's doing something that makes him uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's frustrated.
He's frustrated. I think he's trying to motivate himself. I think he's trying to motivate his team. I think he's trying to get their attention more so. Then attack the Arizona.
This is the most irritated I've seen you. Are you irritated?
No, I'm not irritated. I'm just confident. I'm confident in myself. I'm confident in my teammates, most importantly. And that's what we need. I'll be ready to go.
Out of breath.
Right.
Very breathy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think he's frustrated when you... I mean, think about this. Historically bad performances.
Historically.
Back to back. And that's where that frustration Bruce.
He's a great player.
Yeah, no, he's
great player.
Awesome guy, great technician. A
lot of pride in the Denver Broncos and the defense they've had for years up there.
Yeah, I mean, so I get where he's coming from. But the problem is you put it on ink. When you said put that statement out there, that's where, I know you're trying, hey, I get it. I say a lot of things to my teammates on the sidelines, in the locker room to try and motivate them. But once that microphone gets in my face and you say that and you double down on it, that's when I, as an opponent, a nameless gray face, take a little bit of extra, you know, wait a second. A little oomph. Yes. I'm like, okay, now I've got to pour some nails in my Cheerios this week. You've made me mad.
I've only got a minute left, but one of these small aspects of this that I don't understand is Vance Joseph really the head coach? I mean, I realize when you've won two Super Bowls and you are a legend in your city and you have brought the team to another Super Bowl by bringing in Peyton Manning, John Elway has a lot of clout. There's a little more murmurings going on now. Denver fans are getting a little sick of it, thinking, okay, is the teardown of the Broncos your fault too? But if John Elway is saying...
Obviously, we've got very soft in there and to give up the amount of yards we have the last 2 weeks.
I mean, he's either insulting his players or trying to motivate them or both. But why is the president saying this team has gotten soft? Doesn't that usurp anything the head coach is doing? I mean, who's really in charge?
Well, I think when you look at the type of individual that's running that team, I mean, when you think of John Elway, like you said, the legendary status, the former player, the definition of Denver grit.
Who loves to dance, but is a very bad dancer, from what I'm told. It's interesting, right?
And still nursing that shoulder surgery. but, you know, I think that's where the former player creeps out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In that comment, where it's just like, I'm going to throw this shot because I'm throwing a shot to that locker room because this is my only way to motivate.
Because I think I'm in the locker room when he's not.
You're not. You have a suite. You wear a suit on Sunday, and you drink Diet Cokes. So
that's well done.
But I think that's where it comes from, is that he's trying to – this is the only way he knows how. Because he's a former player, in his mind, I have to say that they're getting soft because I don't have the right to go into the locker room because that's a coach's domain.
Mm-hmm. Well done, yeah.
But when asked, I have to give my bald-faced response, which is they look soft.
That's good.
I can't go – to Vance Joseph, say, hey, this team looks soft. I need you to toughen it up without stepping on his toes.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a radio interview, you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's his way of signaling to them.
Yeah, he did.
He sent the bat signal to him like, hey, let's get this ship right.
Yep.
Max, see you Tuesday. Thanks.
Hey, see you guys. I'll see you tonight.
Maximum Football, 8:15 to 9:15 every Tuesday, every Thursday, with Super Bowl winning offensive lineman Max Starks. Coming up next, let's bring in Dave Pasch. Why? Well, he's the ESPN NBA broadcaster that saw the debut of DeAndre Ayton live, and now he's getting ready for Cardinals Broncos. That's next with the voice of the Cardinals on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. As busy as he is right now, really appreciate him saying yes. Dave Pasch just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He's got Cardinals tonight. He had Suns last night. And Dave, the trivia question of the day, where is your life taking you after the Cardinals game? Where are you going next?
First of all, Doug, I'll come on anytime. Just send me a small slice of Wolf's fat paycheck, and that will ensure my availability.
We're all
wishing
you that.
I've got a red eye to Baton Rouge. I have actually, in 15 years of doing college football at ESPN, I've never done a game at LSU.
No, that's
night
fantastic.
Game. Yeah, night game. I mean, it's, you know, people say, oh, you guys at ESPN, you guys are SEC biased. Well, if you ever go to an SEC game, first of all, watch the players and then see the atmosphere. it's not a bias. It's just this is the best.
I totally agree.
For a lot of reasons.
totally agree. LSU, Mississippi State, man, that's one of the five-star games for this weekend. Okay, we're going to get to Cardinals, of course, but let's start it off with what you saw last night. You've been to a lot of NBA arenas, probably every one. You've seen a lot of rookie debuts. Was the atmosphere palpable? Did it feel like a Suns game from 10 years ago?
It did. I said that at the end of the game. I just didn't get a chance, but I was thinking about it, Doug, that it did feel like the old days. When Devin Booker took over in the fourth quarter, DeAndre Ayton, the energy he brings, everything I saw from him is everything I saw last year at Arizona. The guy, along with the fact he works hard, he loves the game, he's a great teammate. And, the Jamal Crawford edition, I talked to him a little bit before the game, along with Ariza and Tyson Chandler. You got some veteran players to mentor these young guys. They look different last night, fellas. I don't think that means they make the playoffs out of the West, but no. They will be better, and they will be fun to watch. Hmm.
David, did you say to yourself at all watching it, it's only one game, but did you say to yourself, boy, DeAndre Ayton's better than Luka Doncic?
Hard to say. Well, I'll say this, because Doncic got in foul trouble, and his first quarter was really good. He got in foul trouble. He's adjusting defensively. Rick Carlisle even said that. But neither guy's going to be a bust. I looked at Mark Jackson after, I think, the second time out, and he and I, said, look, it's a long way to go, but both guys are going to be good. I don't think there's any question Doncic is a player.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was fun to watch DeAndre Ayton and watch him play. And I loved how you threw out Ariza in there. And one other question before we get into Cardinals is, what did you think of Igor? It looked like there was a lot of space on the floor for guys to hit shots and move the ball.
You could tell, look, he's been around the NBA for two decades. Mm-hmm. I know it's his first time as a head coach, but he's been with some really good head coaches. He knows the NBA. He understands the skill that he has on the team. Some of the DNPs I thought were interesting. Mikal Bridges got in at the end, but no Dragan Bender.
Yep.
It's clear that Devin Booker is going to be not 100% of the time, but most of the time, the point guard. And he believes in this philosophy. Again, I mentioned Mark Jackson. Mark said on the air last night he likes it. And you could see in the fourth quarter, it wasn't just the points. It was the decision-making by Book. And a lot of times the decision was the ball. But the screen and roll with Ayton, you have to respect it because of Ayton's ability to shoot the ball. Mm-hmm. And if they switch and you get a small on Ayton, Booker's going to take advantage of that. That's like NBA basketball 101. Ayton is smart enough to know he can score on that guy. Or you saw him last night, guys, pass several times very quickly when the double team came. Mm-hmm. Those things make the offense look a lot better.
Mm-hmm. David, talk a little bit about the Broncos and the Cardinals game tonight. And what is on your mind right now? What is the first thing you're thinking about? And there's a lot of things you could be thinking about. But what are they tonight?
Man, so much pressure. The thing that stands out, Wolf, more than any is the pressure on coaches on both sides of the ball to get a win.
Yes.
For an October game, right? Yeah. And I understand from a Broncos perspective, you haven't had back-to-back losing seasons in 45 years, and you've been horrible, especially defending the run the last few games. Case Keenum is, as we know, a solid player. He's never going to be great. But the Broncos are a mess, and they seem like they're getting worse. The Cardinals started out a mess, but they seem like they're getting better. There's still a ways to go, but I've been encouraged the last couple weeks, and I hope we see more tonight.
Talking to Dave Pasch, play-by-play voice, Arizona Cardinals. He's got LSU Mississippi State on Saturday on ESPN, and he also had Suns and Mavericks in the opener for the DeAndre Ayton era last night. We're talking Cardinals now. I love that the pressure on the coaches, and you just mentioned Case Keenum. There's an unbelievable amount of pressure on Case Keenum, more picks than touchdowns, and it's almost establishing who you are because he's such a good dude. You want to believe the Minnesota version of Case Keenum. And unfortunately, we're seeing the Jeff Fisher version of Case Keenum right now. And do you get the feeling as you kind of prepared for the game, this could be his last start as well?
Well, when you think about the weapons he had in Minnesota, it's just a lot different.
Yes,
he had
it is.
More weapons. He had better players around him. To me, Josh Rosen doesn't need to have great players around him. He's going to make guys better because I think Josh Rosen is going to be an excellent quarterback. Case Keenum is the same guy that he was when he came in the NFL. He's accurate. He's solid. He's smart. But he needs to have great players around him. And look, John Elway, love John Elway for what he did as a player. I think he's done some really good things as an executive. But you miss on Paxton Lynch, and that's a big miss.
Mm-hmm.
When you draft a quarterback in the first round and it doesn't work out, some of the other things they've done there at that position to address it, some of the decisions on coaches have not been good. So he needs to take some blame as well for what's happened to the Broncos.
David, right. This is going to be a very, very physical game that we're all going to get to witness tonight on both sides of the ball. I kid you not. I think this might be one of the shortest games we see all year because I think the other team is going to line up and try to pound the ball, hammer the ball in between the tackles, and make the other one succumb. That's what. Having said that, what did you think of Von Miller and the things that Von Miller said when he said, "We're going to kick your donkey"?
First of all, I hope it is a short game. I got an 11:30 flight tonight.
Of course.
It's like hook, line, and sinker. We take it, right, and run with it. Oh, Von Miller said, "Are you going to kick the Cardinals' butt?" So let's go to the Cardinals and ask what they think about it. And well, I heard you earlier talking about when you trash talk. That's all it is, and I think you're right. I think Von Miller's talking to himself. He's talking to his team. Does Von Miller really think deep down when he watched the film, like, oh, we're going to smash these guys? I doubt it. I think Von Miller's a pretty smart guy. I don't think it's a big deal. You know, is there going to be extra motivation from the Cardinals because Von Miller came out in the media and said something? I don't buy it.
Yeah.
So back to your first answer and Wolf's paycheck. When is the last time he bought you dinner?
Wolf?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, see, you know, when we go out to dinner, it's usually in a place that doesn't cost a whole lot. So, you know,
you love the last place we went, Gastoff's. You loved it.
First of all, Doug, I don't know if Wolf told you about this place that he took us to. It was a German restaurant. It was absolutely packed. They were celebrating Oktoberfest. It's like the night before a noon game. I just flew like across the country. I'm just trying to get a quiet meal and hang with my friends, Paul and Wolf. And there's like 400 people in this place. And the only thing you can get, every entree has 300 grams of fat. And it's $6.99.
And you had a guy with an accordion as well. The killer there.
The guy with the accordion came over and said, "Can I play a tune for you guys?" And we're all like, "Look, we're not, you know, we're just here hanging out, respectfully."
Three dudes, man.
Moving on to the next table.
Next.
Well done. So you offend the accordion guy, but you have a good time with your friends. Thanks, yes. Dave. Good talk. Have a good broadcast tonight, David. Saturday.
I had a good time with Paul. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. That'll cost you tonight.
You can hear more from Dave Pasch coming up tonight on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thanks again, Dave. He called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter on Camelback.com, CoulterNissan.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast. Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. This week, the Doug and Wolf podcast is brought to you by Kinetico. Coming up next, what is the one thing Wolf is going to be staring down as the key to the game when he watches Cardinals Broncos tonight? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This kind of makes it feel good, doesn't it, Basinoni? Good morning. Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley, the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning, broadcasting high atop the bell tower that is the Auction Community Studios. Get ready, because right now the elbows and knees are going to start.
I'm wondering when the nap starts. Sorry.
You know what? Honestly, I could use one myself, Basinonians. Sleep deprivation, especially when you're fat and 56. It's no way to go through life.
Got a message from Detour Dan, friend of the Doug and Wolf Show. Detour Dan says, if you're going to the Cardinals game tonight, best thing is to take the 101 around.
Okay,
don't mess with the 10.
All the way.
If you are going to ASU tonight, the best thing for you to do is to take the 10 to Tempe.
I see.
And then after you're on the 10, then go surface streets. Don't mess with the 202. So those are his advice. We've got three games for you. Coyotes are on the road in Chicago. That's going to be on News Talk 92.3 KTAR FM. If you want Sun Devils, Tim and Jeff have the play-by-play of the Sun Devils coming up on ESPN 620 AM. That kickoff is at 6 o'clock. And our pregame coverage of Cardinals and Broncos gets underway at 1:30. Kickoff is scheduled for 5:20 right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And as Wolf is calling the game, sitting up in the press box, he'll be looking down, and there's one thing that he's gonna be looking for everything, but the one thing you're looking for the most?
What will Wolf watch?
Boy, I like this. It's kind of funky, right? I mean, gather on the transistor and press the ear. Here comes the funkiness. The Cardinals have got to stop the run. Ron Wolfley reporting. I realize it's an understatement, but this team, the Denver Broncos, they're going to come out in 21 personnel, and they're going to probe the nickel front of the Arizona Cardinals, ladies and gentlemen.
No more nickel.
They're going to probe it. They're going to run the spear right through that front seven and find out firsthand just how bad the Arizona Cardinals are or are not up front. But it's not going to be it's not going to be a little poking. It's not going to be that. It's going to be a run through. They're going to try. They're going to get in 21 personnel, and they're going to run the football. Two backs, including a fullback. Something the San Francisco 49ers used to great effect. The Broncos are a great rushing team. They're number 10 in rushing yards per game, and they're number 1 in rushing yards per play. They're going to pound the ball, and if there's anybody that gets squeamish, you may not want to watch this. There's going to be bad, bad things that happen inside that box tonight. I would not be surprised if the Cardinals broke out their first true 4-3 defense with either Dale Buchanan as the third backer or even Gerald Hodges as the third linebacker, depending on the Broncos' personnel. I could see Hodges, Reddick, and Bynes at linebacker in rundown situations. I realize people are saying, no way, Wolf, that's not going to happen. Fine, I don't care. It should. A true 4-3 defense for the first time all season. Jam up the box with the extra defender. Play man free, where you've got man across the board closing the middle of the field. Robber, where it's man across the board closing the middle of the field with a safety high and a free hitter down low. Cover three. Jam up the box and play cover three. If the Cardinals can't shut down the run, Case Keenum will be in 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3 a lot. And that's right where Broncos offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave wants Case Keenum. 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3. Not 3rd-and-obvious. He wants the flip of that. 3rd-and-do-anything. That's what he wants. The Cardinals have got to stop the run. And that's not going to be a surprise to anybody listening.
Fair, hit the close. You know, I know you're going to be looking at a lot of different things, but it is interesting that while the rest of the world, myself included on this one, is focused on Von Miller, David Johnson, Mike McCoy, is focused on the Cardinals' ability to run the football.
Yeah.
And not that you're not, but if you're forced to choose, here's the one thing I got to look at.
Yeah.
You're more focused on run stoppage than running attack.
Right?
I do.
Yeah, the Denver Broncos run the ball really, really well. Now, I realize they're missing two offensive linemen from their starting five, right, that are on IR right now. I get that. And those are big losses. But they're still, this is dogma. They know they can't make Case Keenum one-dimensional. They need to put Case Keenum in a three-dimensional offense. They're going to run the ball and pound the ball. The Cardinals have had all sorts of problems, as we all know, stopping the run, in particular with a fullback, 21 personnel. Here it comes. The Broncos, number 10 in rushing yards per game, and number one in the National Football League in rushing yards per play every time they hand the ball off. They're number one. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to run the ball.
There's a gentleman by the name of Twitter handle, at HeKing15, okay? At HeKing15.
HeKing.
Yeah, and...
Hey! Retweet this. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
He seems a little angry when he writes this, but one win for the Cardinals, one win for the Coyotes, one win for the Suns. What's wrong with this picture? But after reading that, I do ask an entertaining question. At Chicago tonight, at Winnipeg on Saturday for the Coyotes.
Yeah.
Denver is here for the Cardinals. Suns go to Denver for Saturday's game. Who wins game number two of the year first?
Oh, boy. That is...
A little frustrating and sad, but at HeKing15 is looking at.
You answer it. You acknowledge it, Douglas. You acknowledge this kind of thing. Acknowledge it. What would you say?
With the Coyotes, I just care about a goal. So just score.
Don't get me started.
With the Suns, I think Denver's better than the Suns, but I am riding high.
Wow, it's one game. Here we go, baby.
I think the Suns lose to Denver, but I think the Suns win game two.
Give me the baton.
I just don't have the guts to pick the Cardinals tonight. I think both teams are so bad, how do you pick one to beat the other?
Plus, the Broncos have two wins already.
Yeah, yeah. But they're on a four-game losing streak.
I realize they're on a four-game losing streak.
I don't know. I do feel good about the Cardinals, just not strong enough to say they win. Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps live this Saturday from 9 to 11 at the Chick-fil-A off the 17 and the 101 in Deer Valley. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, Suns and Coyotes tickets, and more. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. Coming up next, Paul's call tried to pace himself and save the trash talk for kickoff. And... he fails, baby.
Yeah.
And he fails badly. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is presented by Brooklyn Bedding. Order your mattress by three. Get it delivered today free.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Hey, no laughing in there.
It's your call.
Game day.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
Anyone notice, though, that karma is deciding the baseball playoffs?
I think you get into choosing who you're going to play. You're getting into baseball karma, which I believe in.
That was AJ Hinch before the postseason.
I don't care.
Now the Houston Astros
fishy.
Poke karma right in the ribs with this cheating scandal.
Fishy.
Baseball's own Spygate.
The Indians filed a complaint that an Astros employee was filming video and sending text messages near their dugout during Game 3 of the NLDS.
Whoa.
Goodness gracious.
And then again, the Astros against the Red Sox.
Metro Boston reports a man claiming to be an Astros employee was removed from a credentialed area near the Red Sox dugout during the ALCS opener.
Was the man Ryan Braun?
I promise you, on everything that's ever meant anything to me in my life, for my 28 years on this planet, I did not do this.
The Astros GM said, yeah, we did do it, but we were protecting ourselves from the real cheaters.
That's essentially what happened. We were playing defense. We were not playing offense, and we want to make sure it's a level playing field.
That's the real claim, that they were playing defense.
No. No.
Hey, Astros, you reached out, and you crossed that line.
Cheater!
Yeah, you cheated. And then last night, funny how your own Astros fan reached out, cross the line that cost you that home run.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
That's right. It's not all you get around here. The Soto shotgun of sports! Sports takes and game-saving gold glove catches against the Astros in every direction.
Line drive, left field, Benintendi coming on, dive!
Listen.
And did he make the catch? He did!
Listen.
He got it!
The Red Sox win!
The Red Sox.
As I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just fell down.
Oh, wow. What a catch.
Get off. Joe Castiglione so amped up, Doug.
That's funny.
You got to give it to us again, Paul.
I mean, I want to see Dave Pasch fall in the middle of a broadcast.
He goes boom.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Here we go.
Line drive, left field. Benintendi coming on, dives. Yeah. And did he make the catch? He did.
Saves the game.
He got it.
Red Sox win.
The Red Sox win.
The Red Sox win. As I just went head over heels in my chair.
Jones fell down.
Oh, wow. What a catch.
That's fantastic.
That is.
I can see Tim Healy doing that.
Down goes Joe.
Down goes
Yasmani.
No. Stop it.
Tomas. Although we do have another former D-back, if you want karma and getting blindsided.
Bam! Reality hits you hard, bro.
Doug, are you with me? Craig Counsell tried to out-scheme the Dodgers, purposely starting a lefty to get the Dodgers to stack their lineup with right-handed hitters.
Exciting.
And then he pulls starter Wade Miley after just 5 pitches.
You fucking sneaky bastard.
And Counsell admitted it was by design.
Yeah, that's what we were going to do all along. Wade is going to pitch game 6. This is kind of what we decided we were going to do.
Well, guess what? His Dr. Evil plan backfired.
$1 million.
You pull a fast one with your starter, you pull him, and then what happens? The other starter says,
"You snotty little bastard."
As Clayton Karma Kershaw punks you with his best start of the postseason, 7 innings, 3 hits allowed. Funny how that happened.
We just got punked physically.
That's right. And by the way, let's not forget what happened to the Rockies in the playoffs. After they spent the regular season using what again?
These high-scoring baseballs are doing to the game.
Yep.
How unfair it is.
The high-scoring baseballs.
The umpires deliberately arranged for the Rockies to win yesterday's game in Denver by using the high-scoring baseballs when the Rockies were batting.
Who's the ref tonight? Because we better check to make sure the Broncos aren't using those high-scoring footballs, Vaughn.
I think there's nobody in the league that could block me and Bradley. We just got to go out there and play, especially, not the Cardinals. They're going to get our best on Thursday. Oh. They got to come with their best.
It's not Jerome Boger, is it, Paul?
It is not.
If it is, then...
Jerome was last week.
Jerome and Vaughn will be a combined hashtag.
No comprendo.
So the Broncos can't stop the run. I mean, historically bad against the run.
In my opinion, that sucked.
And Vaughn Miller runs his mouth.
We're going to go out there and we're going to kick the ass. This is the way I'm feeling. Oh. Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick the ass.
Yeah, you know the way we're feeling, Vaughn?
Oh, no, Paul.
You know what, Vaughn? I haven't been keeping score, but I didn't notice last week, before Denver play the Rams, was Vaughn talking tough? No. How about next week when Denver plays KC? Will this be Vaughn again?
Hit me with your best shot.
Of course not. Crickets. That'll be Vaughn. Funny how he saves his tough talk for the teams that are 1-5 with a rookie quarterback and the lowest ranked rushing attack. Oh, now I'm a tough guy. I mean, this is akin. You want a Denver guy, Mark Schlereth. This is akin to his rant about the kicker flexing their muscles.
Oh, you stud! You bang your helmet! You are one tough SOB!
That's right, Vaughn.
Still classic.
Unless Vaughn was paid off by some TV suit at Fox.
But I'm the president of everybody.
I mean, the only logical explanation otherwise is that they told him to amp this game up, sell it, for the national TV audience. I don't know, like a UFC fight.
Back to books.
I'm gonna put
all of a sudden, number 58 morphs into Vaughn Connor McGregor Miller.
And I'm gonna slap the face off him, and that's it.
Play stink again, Paul.
Or maybe Vaughn Miller is... Wolf, maybe he's masking his lack of confidence like an inferiority complex.
You can do it!
Because you realize, Vaughn, there's a guy out on that field tonight who led the league in sacks last year. Actually, there's a guy who led the NFL in sacks, QB hits, tackles for loss.
Ding, ding, ding!
Is it a guy from Long Island, Bull?
And it's not you, Vaughn Miller.
Just know I have a whole bag of shh with your name on it.
I don't know. Where is Chandler from? Is Chandler from... Is he from Long Island?
This is the second biggest beatdown anyone's ever received in Paul's Fall. Second biggest. Gale Bass.
I mean,
well done, Paulie.
Translation, Vaughn, you ain't no Lawrence Taylor.
Bill, you've seen a lot of good pass rushers in your career, starting with Lawrence
Belichick.
Taylor. Belichick. Does Max sort of rank up there, one of the better ones? Yeah.
Don't do it.
No, I'm talking about Lawrence Taylor now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I'm not putting anybody in Lawrence Taylor's class.
That's right.
Put everybody down below that. That's... With a lot of respect to a lot of good players now, but we're talking about Lawrence Taylor.
Listen to him. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's passion there.
Yeah, the thought bubble above Belichick's head read,
"Ain't nobody got time for that."
You have no idea.
Yeah.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
By the way, real quick, we love the Suns opener. A lot to love, but just want to remind everyone that they've won 6 straight against Dallas, and they swept all 3 games last year when the Suns only won 21. So just... Let's wait till we get another opponent.
Thanks, Paul. Yo, Bubba Rappin.
A look at performances that have Paulie pensive pondering.
You're better than that.
You're better than that, man.
You're better than that.
All right, the political season, full swing.
Politics is winner. Right. Take it all.
We've now got a politician with an ad that's talking tougher than Von Miller.
Because Steve Ferrara's a badass, and he doesn't care what people think.
No way.
Come on, man.
This is an online video ad. It's for real. It starts with some yearbook photos.
In the fifth grade, he wore this for his school picture. Did he get beat up? Of course he did. He didn't care.
Right, I mean...
Come on, man. Y'all better than that.
No, and then the ad gets snarky.
Not cool enough for you? Where's your bitchin' Camaro, pal?
Oh, no.
And
come on.
Oh, yeah. He saved a dolphin.
He saved... No, like Flipper.
Did your candidate save a dolphin? I didn't think so. Steve Ferrara. Polo tie wearing, head shaven, man holding dolphin. Fiction.
That's what? It's a real online ad that's gone viral.
You're better than that.
Real quick, just play the disclaimer at the end, though.
Paid for by AFBIC.
What?
Americans for Badasses in Congress.
Oh, come on.
You're better than that.
He's somewhere in Arizona. He's really running for a seat in the House. I don't really know. This ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
That's really good.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's The You, brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
Paul was talking earlier this morning, or on Paul's call there, about karma and the Houston Astros. I wonder who it was. Who was the relief pitcher that gave up the grand slam the other day? There's your answer on who's got the bad karma.
Wait
a minute.
Ozuna.
Yeah.
That's right. You know what? We're giving Doug a ding on that. Wolf?
The Arizona Cardinals are number 32 in rushing yards per game and number 32 in rushing yards per play. The Denver Broncos defense, number 32 in rushing yards per game allowed and 32 in rushing yards per play allowed. The stoppable force meets the movable object. Peace and strength.